You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean, on our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, at one time, he was, I think it's fair to say, in evangelical circles, a household name. You may not have liked him or appreciated him, but Mark Driscoll's name was known to you. He's been gone for a while, but now he's coming back. On This Week in Pop American Christianity, it's time to talk about Mark Driscoll's return. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How big was Mark Driscoll when he was Mark Driscoll?
Ginormous, let's just put it this way, is that every, you know, red-blooded male evangelical who wanted to become a pastor wanted to be like Mark Driscoll. His resurgence network, his internet resources, his sermons, and his many, many books. He was quite prolific as an author, although it's important to note that it later came out that many of his books, in fact, almost all of them, had portions of them that were straight up plagiarized from other people's works. But in his heyday, Mark Driscoll by himself was kind of an evangelical church planting, church leader industry standard. And to say that he was ginormous is to, it's almost an understatement to say that.
What happened? We've got about a minute here before the break. In a nutshell, what happened to Mark Driscoll?
Things unwound pretty quickly for him, you know, back in 2015 when he put out a book, you know, talking about whether or not Christianity would have a future or a funeral. And he did an interview on Janet Medford's radio program. And in that interview, she confronted him regarding the plagiarism in his books. And that created a firestorm and a lot of scrutiny. And at about that time, many people were coming forward talking about his abusive leadership practices, and things kind of kept coming to a head and coming to a head. And then he eventually, I think, maybe it was 2014, in October of 2014, he resigned from the ministry, and the church that he planted and all of its multi-sites pretty much collapsed. And so, you know, Mark Driscoll's shining career as an evangelical mega church leader that everybody wanted to be like and follow his model, you know, literally crashed against the rocks in October of 2014.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Friday afternoon, April the 13th. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about Mark Driscoll's return. He was a big deal. He was very quickly out of the public eye. A few failed attempts or false starts at a return over the last couple of years, but now he is back, and we'll find out how. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we're going to find out more about Mark Driscoll's return. He's made a few changes, it seems. Then after we conclude our conversation with Pastor Roseborough, it'll be Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the return of Mark Driscoll. Chris, I just want to summarize where we've been so far shortly with you. That is, we had Mark Driscoll, who was the big deal. He was the go-to guy. He was the face of kind of 2010s American evangelicalism. There's no doubt about it. He had taken over from guys like Bill Hybels. He had taken over from guys like Rick Warren. You mentioned something before the break, abusive leadership practices. Is he the one that coined the a pile of bodies under the bus?
Yes.
Mentality?
Yes, and that's an actual quote from him that we play from time to time on my program. And literally, Mark Driscoll said that, that hoping and praying that before it was all done, that there would be a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus, and talked about the importance of kicking people out of the church and off leadership who are not getting with the church's vision. So he was one of these fellows that would aggressively and very hostily and abusively anybody who he perceived was at odds with him, kind of like the old King Herod, he would have them executed, but not physically, just, get them off the bus, so to speak. But yeah, he kind of has the Herod approach to spiritual leadership.
So we're going to talk about his kind of reincarnation here theologically, as well as in terms of his hoped for prominence. But what was his theology in his heyday? What was his theology? I know he came out of kind of the young, restless Calvinist movement. Was Calvinism in his preaching and teaching?
He claimed that he was a new Calvinist, which is a weird thing that he was claiming. And so he claimed allegiance to the doctrines of grace, says that he was a tulip-believing and preaching Calvinist. Yet, when it comes to sola scriptura, not so much. So he was a guy who believed that he received direct revelations from God, even saying that God would give him visions with even pornographic details about the sins that people had committed or had been committed against them. And so we learned from people who left his leadership team that he actually had what they called demon trials, where he would engage in some kind of exorcisms from people, and put the demons inside them on trial. Strange practices that are not really at all conducive with historic Reformed Calvinist theology. So he was this weird hybrid of, kind of Calvinism and modern charismatic, almost NAR type beliefs.
And would you have called him at the time, or still call him, a vision casting leader?
Oh, yeah. In fact, his title at the time, he was the head vision casting leader of Mars Hill. That was part of his title.
What are we going to hear first, Chris?
So in order to talk about his return, we kind of have to go back in history a little bit. We're going to go to June of 2015, the Hillsong Conference in Sydney, Australia. And we're going to listen to Mark Driscoll's recounting of how his resignation came about. And we're let him tell the details and pay attention at the end to the direct revelation that he claimed that he received from God regarding his leaving the ministry.
So in your resignation letter, you detail a fair bit about mistakes you had made and offences that you had caused. And did you feel like that was received by people?
I never got to say goodbye to the church and the people. And so what went public was it was actually the resignation letter that went to the legal governing board that was in authority over me. And we didn't expect to resign. I met with the board. There was a whole list of things that were charged by current and former leaders, and there was an internal governance struggle and threats of legal action, and it got very complicated. And a lot of that was anonymous through the internet, so you don't know who is saying or doing what. And so I invited the board to do a full examination, interview anybody, anything. And we would submit to whatever verdict that they determined. That went, I think, about 8 weeks. We met a Friday and Saturday, October 10th and 11th. I remember because the 11th was my birthday. And so Grace and I were present with the board, and they said, we see in your history of leadership, less in more recent years, but particularly in the past, pride, anger, and domineering leadership style. That would be the three exact words they used. We don't see anything disqualifying. These are areas we want you to grow. We want you to return to leadership of the church soon. They wanted to do some clean out internally. We want you back on January 4th in the pulpit, give you time to heal, things to cool down, and for some changes to be made. We agreed to that. And then on that Monday night, I was in the bedroom, Grace was in the living room, and he spoke to me and he spoke to her in a supernatural way that neither of us anticipated or expected. So, well, she said, well, what did he say to you? And I said, well, the Lord revealed to me that, you know, a trap has been set. There's no way for us to return to leadership. And I didn't know what that meant or what was going on at the time. And he said, well, we're released and we need to resign. So, you know, this is not what we anticipated.
All right, Chris, he's explaining kind of his side of the story of the resignation in a nutshell. What was his version of the story?
His version of the story was that there was an investigation which he welcomed and said that he would submit to. And in that investigation, it was found he was guilty of pride, arrogance, and a domineering leadership style. And they were his leadership team, the board of directors that he was accountable to, was going to remove him from the pulpit for a time from October of 2014 to January of 2015. But he claims that he went home and he received a direct revelation from God telling him that there a trap had been set by the board of directors of Mars Hill and that God had released him from ministry. And so the best way I can describe it is that this direct revelation basically has Mark Driscoll at this point being a fugitive from church discipline, and he claims a direct revelation, and that his wife received the same word from God. So the two of them together basically said God had released them because the board of directors of Mars Hill had laid a trap for him.
Okay, so that's not really that out of character for Mark Driscoll. I mean, it seems like it's always kind of been about him, and it's always been about kind of escaping the responsibilities for his actions. Am I right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. So important to note that, you know, the investigation by the board of directors found that he was guilty of certain things, and they wanted him to get the help that he needed before returning to the stage there at Mars Hill. And he did not submit to any of that. And so, you know, this is kind of par for his course. And unfortunately, because he's never been properly disciplined or had these things, these shortcomings in himself addressed, he basically returned to pastoral ministry in Scottsdale, Arizona on his own recognizance. Nobody restored him at all. There was nothing done to address these things. And, you know, so now he's pastoring the Trinity Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he has recently published, you know, literally, you know, signed a book deal with Charisma House magazine, finished the book, and is already beginning to, let's just say, promote the new book that's coming out by Mark Driscoll. And in his promotional videos that he's done with Stephen Strand of Charisma House, he's even kind of now, you know, told us the other part. You know, once he left ministry, he's still continuing to tell us his point of view regarding what happened with the demise of Mars Hill and then wanting to bring him to discipline.
Let's hear that.
So tell me, what is the felt need that you think the reader will take away from this message?
There's some painful parts of our story in there. So we went through a season where we just felt a little overwhelmed and needed to, as a family, practice forgiveness. I don't know if you want to tell the story, honey, where we'd been in ministry for 18 years and then transitioned out of that. And it was a Sunday, and I'm a pastor, but we didn't have a church to go to. And so I don't know if you remember, when I came out of the bedroom, I'm in my pajamas, you and the kids were waiting for me in the living room.
Yeah, we still needed to have community together as a family at that time. And so I gathered the kids, and they each wanted to participate in some aspect of church. So we just gathered together, and we just started praying, and Mark felt like God was leading him to teach on forgiveness. So he searched through the scriptures with us, and we all learned what forgiveness in the Bible was and really what that meant for us in that season.
And so my church was Grace and our five children. So, I mean, it was the greatest church that has ever assembled. But for me in that season, I didn't want our kids to be bitter against God, me, their parents, the church, anybody or anything. I believe that the heart of the demonic is unforgiveness. And I believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit work through forgiveness. Satan and demons work through unforgiveness and bitterness.
That's right.
And I believe any time you refuse to forgive, you open yourself up to demonic torment and you bring haunting and and devastation into your own life and family. And so we were crying. We were emotional.
We were a mess.
And and that as I opened the Bible, I didn't have a sermon prepared that day for my family. But in our pajamas, with tears in our eyes, gathered in our living room, I started in Ephesians 4, and then as God brought to mind Scripture, we did a large study on forgiveness, and that if we don't forgive, the Bible says we grieve the Holy Spirit, that He wants to help us forgive, be unburdened, sort of bury the past, move on with the future. So one of the chapters is on forgiveness.
So obviously part of His promotion for the book that you had mentioned before, what do you make of the story that he and his wife tell there, Chris?
So you're going to note he's painted himself as a complete and total victim. And so in talking about forgiveness, he's literally spinning the story in such a way that he's the one who, in his family, he and his family, they're the ones who needed to forgive the board of directors and the people at Mars Hill in Seattle. But there was no mention of his need to be forgiven. In fact, that's kind of the ongoing story here. When Mars Hill blew apart and prior to it blowing apart, I have had many a conversation with people who have left Mars Hill and people who formerly were on the leadership team there and have had communication with them since. And not a single one of them has ever been approached by Mark Driscoll in order to receive from him an apology and for him to ask them for their forgiveness for the things that he had done wrong. Remember, the board of directors, according to Mark Driscoll, had found him guilty of arrogance, pride, and a domineering leadership style. And so it's weird. This is a strange thing that has occurred, and that is that Mark Driscoll claims that God told him that the board of directors had laid a trap for him and had released him from ministry, and now that he has a book deal, you know, clearly people are going to be asking questions about his leaving of the ministry and what happened at Mars Hill. And the only information we have thus far is that he's basically telling people that he and his family, they had this great opportunity to practice forgiveness for the sins committed against them.
It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're talking about Mark Driscoll's return. He's coming back with a book. Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. If you are currently immersed in, or if you've come out of, or if you've flirted with Pop American Christianity, you've heard about the Proverbs 31 woman. What you might not have heard about is our Issues Etc. book of the month for April called Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. I can guarantee you, read the book, you'll find out there is far more there than simply an example for Christian women to follow. Far, far more. There is that, but there is also Christ Himself. You can find out by reading the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman by Deaconess Elizabeth Allman. Find it at our website on every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Whedon Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
It puts a lot of pressure on women. It's discouraging. And this is the worst part, that it encourages us to look to ourselves.
They really can't have it both ways. If religion has no place in the public square, if religious rhetoric, advocacy on the basis of religious positions has no place in our politics, then Dr. King should be condemned by them.
Sacraments are still the sacraments, and the Word of God is still the Word of God. You might have a terrible pharmacist, but the antibiotics are still going to cure the infection.
On the cross is how he wallops the enemy. He wallops the enemy by suffering defeat and humiliation.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites in their entirety, we'll play them for you. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the return of Mark Driscoll. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. So just to be clear here, he has reframed or reinterpreted the events of his, let's just call it, for lack of a better word, his downfall or his ouster from Mars Hill, so that not only so he can retell the story in a book, but so that he is now the victim of everyone else, and there doesn't seem to be any acknowledgement that there was any wrongdoing on his part.
None whatsoever. I mean, it is classic kind of narcissistic personality disorder kind of stuff that we're seeing from Mark Driscoll. And the reality is that there are so many people who are just done with him, and this story, what really happened, is so well known that, you know, I just think it's actually sad and tragic that he thinks that somehow he can just re-spin the narrative and make all the sins that he committed in the past just disappear, when what he really needs is to repent, to apologize, confess his sins, and to receive an absolution. And that's kind of the real sad part of all of this, is that Driscoll has just kind of barreled on down the road and waited for, you know, things to kind of settle down and die down. And the thing that he needs the most is the thing that he has not received, and that is an absolution, to hear that Christ has bled and died for the sins that he committed while the chief vision casting leader of Mars Hill. And so, which shows a profound lack of understanding of the gospel and a profound lack of understanding of his need for it. So it's actually quite tragic what is occurring.
What more do we have?
So to kind of give you an idea now, Mark Driscoll doesn't have the ability, because many Calvinists and people in the Reform camp are very strong about church discipline, and they know for a fact that Driscoll is a fugitive from church discipline. And so now as he reemerges, it's important to note this next soundbite will kind of give us an idea of what does the new Mark Driscoll look like. He's no longer going to be one of these new Calvinists or the young restless and Reform, but I'll let Steve Strang and Mark Driscoll kind of give us an idea of what to expect from the new Mark Driscoll.
Tell me about the journey that you've been on to discover this about the Holy Spirit.
So for me, God spoke to me when I was 19 years of age. I was a brand new Christian in college, didn't know anything. I took this Bible that Grace had given me when I was in high school, got saved in reading. I went to a men's retreat somewhere on the Washington-Idaho border in the middle of nowhere, and the pastor said, go get some time with the Lord. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know he took appointments. I didn't know how he scheduled one. And so he just said, well, go out in the woods and talk to Jesus. I was like, okay. So I went for a walk and I asked Jesus, what do you want me to do now that I'm a Christian? And he spoke to me audibly. He said to Mary Grace, I'm very happy to do that, preach the Bible, which I've been doing since that time, train men and plant churches. Spoke to me audibly with four things. I came back to my pastor. I said, God spoke to me. I didn't even know he did that. And he said, well, that's the word of the Lord to you. You need to obey that. So since that time, started doing, by God's grace and by the Spirit's power, to the best of my ability, exactly what God commanded me and commanded us to do. And so that began a journey where, as I'm reading the Bible, I'm seeing how God works in supernatural and miraculous ways. And then for a season, I worked in some church context and was in some ministry contexts that are not so open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, would be critical of a private prayer language of speaking in tongues, would see miracles, God speaking, supernatural revelation in very suspicious ways, and got a lot of pushback and blowback. But I went back to God's Word. I believe the Bible, and I believe that there is no way you can come to a position that God has ceased doing the supernatural, the unexpected, simply by a reading of God's Word.
All right. What does this signal by way of a theological change? Or I mean, to me, I'm being skeptical and cynical. Kind of an he's found a niche, and this is an opportunity for him to recreate himself.
Yeah, he's decided to recreate himself, and he's dumping the Calvinism, and he's now Mark Driscoll, the charismatic who is the defender of speaking in tongues and basically. You know, the Pentecostal and charismatic distinctives of a baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues and all of the things that go along with that.
Is it safe to say that he is, and I understand, if I'm not mistaken, the publisher of his book is a Pentecostal charismatic publishing house?
Yeah, it's Charisma House. Charisma Publishing. So, and Steve Strang was the guy who was interviewing him. So he's basically decided to come out and go after a new market, and that's the charismatic Pentecostal markets.
What do you make of this, Chris? I mean, you have been watching Mark Driscoll for, well, how many years? It's got to be at least a decade.
Yeah, Driscoll is one of the guys that we were paying attention to 10 years ago when we launched Pirate Christian Radio. I mean, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary now in June 30th when we launched Pirate Christian Radio and Issues, Etc. came back on the air. And so watching Driscoll, you know, at first I was cautious with him, but as I was starting to hear, you know, the rumblings from people who had been kicked off of his leadership team and others, you realize that there was a major problem theologically. You know, I think back to when he spoke at one of Piper's Desiring God conferences, and you realize that theologically he was a weird animal. He was a hybrid between two things that really don't, that theologically shouldn't mix. And when you look at his early days, he was part of the emergent church movement and bailed when the leaders started heading hard left. But the one thing he had in common with them was kind of their irrational way of mixing things that shouldn't be mixed. And it was clear very early on that, you know, he had this belief that he was receiving direct revelation from God. And that became kind of the cornerstone of the whole vision casting leader thing that embedded itself in the purpose-driven and seeker-driven churches that wanted to follow after the way the model, the church model developed by Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. And so to say he was kind of a theological trailblazer and ecclesiastical trailblazer and innovator is an understatement. But, you know, the reality is that he's an enthusiast. And when we read like Luther in his, in the Small Called articles, he made a very important point. And that is that it was in the Garden of Eden that the devil made enthusiasts out of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Rather than looking to the objective word of God for guidance, they instead listened to the voice of God within. And that's what happened as a result of the fall into sin. And so Driscoll is an extremely dangerous fellow theologically, ecclesiastically, and I would even say that he's got some kind of an organic issue mentally, because a person who is incapable of confessing their sins, taking responsibility for the things that they have done wrong, and has, you know, left a pile of dead bodies behind him, and was bragging about the fact that this is something that he would rejoice in, that, you know, by the grace of God, there would be this pile of dead bodies, and albeit there was, yeah, this is a fellow who has so many problems that he does not have anything to offer the church, but the church has something to offer him, the call to repent and to be forgiven. And unfortunately for Driscoll, everything is about Driscoll, and that's really the problem.
I'm going to amend something that I said a moment ago, because I, albeit out of cynicism and skepticism, I suggested that he's found a niche with the Pentecostal and Charismatics because, well, he's kind of burned every other bridge there is to burn. That may still be true, but is it possible that this vision casting mentality that is so pervasive beyond Mark Driscoll in American evangelicalism, even among some Lutherans, has a trajectory toward this kind of rank enthusiasm that yes. Driscoll seems to be drinking of now?
Yeah, absolutely. Over and again, we've seen, I've described churches that have bought into, you know, enthusiasm, you know, via the charismatic or Pentecostal movements. And you have to actually see liberalism as a form of that, because it is that the churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color of that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die, just like a cut flower dies and wilts and withers. And so there's a trajectory that they're on, that once you buy into enthusiasm, you've opened yourself up, and I hate to say it this way, but you've opened yourself up to pure doctrines of demons, which Jesus has said exactly, in this, God's word says exactly what the end times will be marked by. And so if you're not going to listen to the word of God in the scriptures, and you're going to think that you can hear it with inside of your heart, you've opened yourself up to your sinful nature and to demonic influences. And it literally is just a matter of time before your church or your church body has gone off the rails. And Driscoll just happened to do it for us a lot quicker. You know, he had a cycle that he was on, and one that we can kind of see the trajectory play out in a shorter amount of time. But with church movements or denominations, it might take a little bit longer than this. But the trajectory that they're on is the exact same trajectory he's on.
If recent events in the last decade or so in evangelicalism has taught us anything, it's that evangelicals absolutely love a comeback story, especially when it's a pastor. They will give pastors so many bites at the apple that pretty soon there's nothing left but the core. And I'm sure that there are thousands who are ready to sit at Mark Driscoll's feet. Do you expect him to reach the kind of prominence he had when he was that household name, Mark Driscoll?
I would like to think that in a world that's kind of post-Me Too, that it would be more difficult for Driscoll to get even close to where he was, you know, 6-7 years ago. And I think that a lot of people are wise onto him. So I'm going to be skeptical. I would argue that he might have thousands and thousands of people who pay attention to him, but his story is so well known and the details of it so destructive that I don't think he'll ever really quite hit the same apex or zenith that he had in the past. But I think he'll still be able to make a comfortable living.
What kind of high-profile preachers and teachers are you going to be examining tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
So we're finishing up our Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest, and we've had some real stinkers. And the best way I can put it is, tune in tonight, you'll hear the last of them, and I can't wait to wash my hands of them is the best way I could put it. So, yeah, that's what we're going
to
be doing.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough on Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. PirateChristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
When we come back, it's going to be time to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got our four soundbites ready to go. Hopefully, you are ready to listen to all four of them, and then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, live this Friday afternoon, April the 13th. You can also email your vote to us right here in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your vote, @issuesetc. Make sure you tell us who you are, why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for, and where you listen. You can also vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. We've got soundbites on the danger of reading the Proverbs 31 woman as only an example, on progressive hypocrisy, on religion in the public square, a word to men mistreated by the church, and a soundbite on Christus Victor right after the break.
It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.